I want to speak on this title today, that every round goes higher, higher. Soldiers of the cross. You know that old spiritual so well. You know, the Lord announces a wisdom of God. And that wisdom is, as Paul would later say, utter absurdity to this world, to the nations. Utter absurdity. It's the wisdom of the cross. Jeremiah suffered greatly also for proclaiming God's ways that were not in conformity with the thinkings of his day. And he suffered greatly for it. In prison, thrown down in a cistern. All kinds of, he said, there came a day when I said, I won't do it anymore. It's just too much suffering for preaching. But then it becomes like a fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah goes on to preach, and St. Paul said today, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may understand what is truly pleasing and wise to God. So again, over and over again in the readings today, we are confronted with the fact that the world in which we live considers the most fundamental teachings of God to be absurdity. And yet the Lord, with great courage today, stands before us and he speaks to us of the cross. So let's look at the teaching and then return to, if you will, we're going to go to Caesarea Philippi, but then we need to come back to 1357 East Capitol. But go with me now, and the Lord is there, and the Lord, first of all, announces, if you will, the pattern that is announced. And here's what the Lord says. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Don't let that last part fall away. Are you praying with me, church? Because the Lord isn't just announcing suffering. He's announcing glory. And that's why I say that, first of all, note in this gospel the pattern that is announced. There is suffering and difficulty and trials, and yet, on the third day, I rise. He's announcing what we call the pattern that we call the Paschal Mystery. And if you want to understand your life in Christ, that's it. What is the Paschal Mystery? It is not simply Good Friday. It's Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. It's all of that together. The passion, the suffering, the dying, and the rising of Christ. That's the Paschal Mystery. And St. Paul says, we echo that mystery in our very being. He says that we, 1 Corinthians 10, we are always carrying about in our bodies the dying of Christ, so that also the rising of Christ may be manifested in us. That's your life. Dying with Christ and rising with him. From day to day, from week to week, month to month, year to year, and decade to decade. Your life and mine. We're dying with him through our suffering and our difficulties in this world, but always rising to something far more glorious. And so you see, the first thing the Lord does is not simply to announce the cross, but also to announce the glory of the resurrection. So the Lord, if you will, is announcing a pattern to our life. It's very important that you keep that in mind. You see, the cross that he announces, it leads somewhere. It accomplishes something for us. The Lord is not simply saying, take up a cross because I'm really into suffering and I want you to suffer. Are you praying with me? I don't know about you, but that's a strange sounding doctrine. And thanks the Lord, that's not the doctrine. The Lord is saying, take up this cross with me so that you will die with me, but in 3 days, rise to something far more glorious. You see, the cross is not the ultimate. It's what we call the penultimate. We got to go take that hill called Calvary, and we got to go on over into glory. That's your life. That's my life. So it is that the Lord is announcing this pattern. A pattern is announced that I will suffer and I will die, but in 3 days, rise gloriously from the dead. And as I suffer and die, so will you. So again, we are always carrying about in our bodies the dying of Jesus Christ, so that also his rising, his life, might be manifested in us. 2 Corinthians 10, just mark it down. Now, that's the pattern that's announced. But notice then, there is, if you will, a prevention that's attempted. St. Peter steps in and tries to prevent defense. We're getting ready for that season again, aren't we? All right. He steps in. Now, quake in your boots for a minute, because old Peter's got a demon in him, and he's not thinking like God thinks. He's thinking like human beings think. And that's what the Lord says of him. He says, you're not thinking like God now. You're thinking like the devil and like human beings think. And so Peter says, Lord, forbid that this should ever happen to you. And Peter said, get behind me. You're not thinking as God does, but as human beings are. Get behind me, Satan. You've got a demon in you talking like that. And the Lord's hot, tough on him. But listen carefully how Peter phrases it. He says here simply, no such thing shall ever happen to you. What such thing? Well, the cross. Pay attention. No cross, no crown. No suffering and dying, no rising. So Peter, in saying, you're not going to suffer, you're not going to die, he's also saying, you're not going to rise, and there's no glory for you. Are you praying with me, church? Pay attention, because your salvation and mine hang in the balance. Peter's trying to keep Jesus from taking up that cross to go suffer and die for us, but then rise gloriously and cast off death like a garment and open up the gates of heaven for us. Somebody say, don't do it, Peter. Step back, Peter. My salvation is in the way. Keep him on that path. Church, the Lord, there's a pattern that's announced, and it's an essential pattern. The Lord says, the cross, but in 3 days, the glory of the resurrection. And they're together, and they can't be separated. Do not try to separate what God has joined. God has joined the cross to the resurrection and to glory. But Peter, there's a prevention that's attempted. So the Lord's cast it aside. He says, no, it must be. So again, first, where have we been? There is a pattern that's announced. There is a prevention that is attempted. Now, Peter wasn't thinking it all the way through. Now, before you're too hard on Peter, neither do most of us. We complain in a minute when there's any suffering to endure. But we don't sometimes look beyond it to see what it will accomplish. I don't know about you, but I don't like getting up in the morning much anyway, when the alarm clock rings, see? But I have to remember that there's something good waiting at the end of the day. Maybe it's a paycheck. but more hopefully it's something more wonderful than that, amen? But we know that we got to work to bring reward. And you know that in your life. That some of the things you most value came at the price of sacrifice. Maybe it's your college degree that brought you then a career and an income so that you could get married and raise a family and just eke out something of that American dream. Maybe it's your children. You had to talk about blood, sweat, and tears to raise them, amen? But finally, they made that march, and they got the graduation, and they're off to the races. Amen? Whew. No, they're still collecting, Father. They still need the money. All right, I got you. All right. But pray, brethren, the things we most value come very often at the price of sacrifice, of hard work, of sweat, of blood. of pain and grief. And yet we go through them because we know on the other side something important and precious is waiting. And so you see, the Lord announces this pattern, the cross, but in 3 days I rise. There's a prevention that's attempted. And then finally the Lord brings it right back. We see this, that there is a prescription that's a warning. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, this is very paradoxical. That you find your life by losing it? It's ridiculous. It's absurd. But listen, what the Lord is saying is, you have to forsake lesser things to receive greater things. You have to sometimes part with a sleeping in till 8:39, 10 o'clock in the morning. That's a lesser thing, to go to a greater thing, your work and your paycheck. But even more so with spiritual things. Brothers and sisters, this world has trinkets to offer you. I said trinkets. You said, don't talk about my granite countertops as a trinket. Don't talk about my house with the cathedral ceilings like a trinket. I'm telling you right now, it's a trinket compared to the glory. The glory that's waiting for you. Now listen, too often though, we don't want to forsake the trinkets. We want to hang on to them. And the Lord says, you got to learn to let go of them. They're holding you back. There are difficulties and trials in this life. I understand that, says the Lord. But will you please take up your cross? And if you need to leave a few things besides, then leave them now. But I tell you, there's something greater. I'm not asking you to forsake things. I'm not asking you to give up things just for their own sake. I'm saying to you, you follow me, and there is a glory waiting for you. But you've got to be willing. There are a lot of trinkets, and the Lord says, leave them behind. Now, first of all, y'all want to go to heaven? Well, guess what? How are you going to get there? Well, I'm going to get on a cloud. Swing down, sweet chariot. I got you. Guess what? It isn't that pretty for you. You got to line a little box. It's going to be right about here, stretched out right about here. You got to leave everything else behind. Go to the day now. If you're going to go to glory, first thing you got to do is let go of all this stuff. Now, that's an event, but there's that daily dying that we need to be willing to do. How many of you have already given some stuff back to God? I gave my hair back. I gave my knees back. They're hard. They don't work so well. I've given my father and mother back. I gave my sister back. I've given a lot of things, my slender figure, I've given it all back. And I have to keep giving back. Brothers and sisters, all I know is we got to be willing to lose some things to gain greater things. And the Lord says that's part of your life here. Don't become too attached to the trinkets. You got to be willing to lose your life here. Lose this life to gain a greater life. And there also then comes not just the things we need to lose, but some of the difficulties we need to endure. You know, there is a mystery to suffering, and I'm not going to try to explain every suffering you've ever been through, but I do know this. The Lord permits crosses in our life. Because, and I only know this in my own life, that He never permits a cross or a suffering except that something greater will come from it. If we are faithful. It is mysterious. Some of you have been through tragic loss. Some of you have suffered mightily with diseases and discouragements. But I'm going to just say to you, the Lord says the way to glory and the way to new life is through that cross. And if the Lord has permitted it for a reason and for a season, learn to take it up. Take it up with humility. Take it up with all of its difficulties, but take it up and say, Lord, I've still got my eyes on you. I'm not growing discouraged. I'm not growing angry. I'm walking with you, Jesus. You told me these would come to my life. I'm not discouraged. I only know this. that these crosses can produce for us glory. St. Paul says the same thing. He says, for this momentary affliction in this world is producing for us a weight of glory beyond all compare. And we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen remains forever. Carry your crosses with faith. The Lord speaks to them. He mysteriously allows them. And at times they may feel overwhelming. But I just want to say I'm a witness. Whatever I've been through, I've come through stronger and more faithful and more humble. And that last one's key. You know, I've got gifts. So do you. And if I didn't have something to keep me humble, I'd be so proud I'd just go right to hell. You know, sometimes the Lord just needs to let us experience some of these things just to keep us humble and calling and depending and reaching out for help to one another. If we didn't have something to struggle with, we'd be so proud we'd go right to hell. So the Lord is saying, I want you to understand, I do have a cross for you. I don't always have the easy things for you to do. Instant gratification, whatever you want, pleasure, quick pleasures and fix. I don't have all that for you. I do have this. I have glory waiting for you. And the way to get there, go up Mount Calvary. Follow me. We're going to go over that hill. We're going to take that hill. And we're going to go on over into glory. But we got to take that hill. No cross, no crown. But always remember, every round goes higher and higher. Life is like a spiral staircase. We come around to pleasant moments and back around to the cross. Back around to pleasant moments and back to the cross. But we're one level higher, and it keeps getting higher and higher if you walk with Jesus. All right, that's the mystery of the cross. That every round goes higher, higher. Notice again, a pattern is announced. Not just the cross, but in 3 days I rise. Whatever you're going through right now, you just tell old devil, don't worry, devil, I'm not discouraged. In 3 days, I'm going to rise. The devil wants you to be discouraged. Just say, I'm going to praise the Lord anyhow. Because in 3 days, I'm going to rise. Because my life is the Paschal mystery. It isn't just the cross. It's the resurrection and ascension into glory. And that's who I am, old devil. You're not going to discourage me. I'm encouraged. So the pattern that's announced, a prevention that's attempted. Whew, thank God that didn't last. And then, if you will, there is, again, this prescription that is awarding. You need to know that the Lord is allowing it for now because He has a glory waiting for you. And that's the way to get there. You say, well, why did it have to be that way? Well, I got news for you. God did have another plan. You may remember it was called paradise. Yeah. Remember that? You ever read that in the Bible? And Adam and Eve had paradise. But they said, nah, I want a better deal. Welcome to the better deal. Paradise lost. That's where we are today. But the Lord is using our decision to choose the way of suffering and death through our ancestors, Adam and Eve. And we've all ratified their choice. You might as well just say amen. You ratified it. So have I. The Lord said, I'll work with you on that. We'll use the cross to bring you to glory. And that's the way it is. That's the cross. Now, back then to what I began with. To the world, what I have just told you is absurdity. It is absurd. There is something that's always been a human problem, but we have it on steroids today. And it's the problem of hedonism. Now, most Americans, when they hear the word hedonism, think of orgies and drinking bouts. But hedonism comes from the Greek word hedone, which means pleasure, pleasure. Now, hedonism is the doctrine that pleasure or happiness is the sole and chief good for the human, for life, for this life. That pleasure and happiness are the sole and chief good for this life. That is the doctrine of hedonism. Now, you can see, therefore, how this, if you will, you know, we all want a little pleasure, don't get me wrong, that's not an evil thing. But to turn it into the sole and chief good of your life, in this life, you see how that stabs the chief doctrine of the Christian faith right in the heart? The cross. The cross is at the heart of the Christian faith. And not just the cross, the glory that it brings, but we gotta look at the cross. And to a world where hedonism is the doctrine, that pleasure and my happiness are the sole and chief good of this life, that completely stabs the cross right in the heart. And to the hedonist mentality, which we're all infected by, the cross is absurdity. St. Paul, as you have, I've been quoting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, simply says, the cross is an absurdity to the nations. He wrote that in the first century. Brothers and sisters, things have not changed. The cross is an absurdity. Now, let me try to bring it to 1357. You think about it now. If that is the mentality of the world in which we live, and it is, do you begin to see then that the world reacts with incredible indignation whenever the cross or suffering is even implied in the sermon, or by the church, or in the scriptures? And the world will cry out with bewildered exasperation and ask rhetorical questions of us. A rhetorical question is not asked because they really want an answer. A rhetorical question is really a statement in the form of a question. And so we get questions like this. Now, we have challenging teachings in the scriptures and from the church. And so the cry will go up. Are you really saying that a woman who has been raped can't abort that child? You know what? The answer is yes. We are saying that. We are saying that a woman who has been raped is not permitted to abort that child. I'm holding up now a cross. This is not some abstraction from 2,000 years ago. This is right here. And the world reacts with anger and indignation when the cross is held up and is too specific. But brethren, that child did nothing wrong. That child does not deserve the death penalty for something its evil father did. And so it is, the church has to hold up the cross. And the world reacts with indignation, with anger, with wrath. We haven't just said something that's hard or challenging. We've said something that's just downright immoral. Because happiness and pleasure are the chief goals. And anything that interrupts that is obnoxious and hateful and wrathful and egotistical. It's intolerant. It's bigoted. Are you saying that gay people who are in love can't get married? And yes, we are. That's what we're saying. We're saying they have to live celibately. Yes, we're saying that. And that's the cross. And it's no longer an abstraction, is it? And it cuts right against the thinking of this world today. I'm saying the same thing to heterosexuals who haven't found a marriage partner. You got to live celibately until you're married. That's hard. Oh, come on. You're just mean, and you're taking away people's fun, and you're all uptight about stuff. And again, the anger, the wrath, the indignation that comes when the cross is held up. Are you saying that a person who's dying and can't go ahead and commit suicide to avoid some more extra pain? Yes, that's what we're saying. We're holding up the cross. And we have to stop being embarrassed by the cross. The cross is absurdity to this world, but to those of us who know the Lord, it is the wisdom and the power of God. Now, I say that we clergy are the first to offend against this. We're scared to make the cross plain. We're scared to talk about hard things, like not getting easy divorces, like not fornicating, like not running around and doing as you please and just living greedy lives with no concern for the poor, the hungry. It's hard to hold up the cross. And too many of us are scared. And too many parents are scared to hold up the cross in front of their children and say, this is hard, but we have to do it. But there is glory beyond this cross. But again, to a world where the only true good is pleasure and happiness, anyone who tries to get between me or a group I like and their happiness or my happiness is mean, hateful, absurd, they're obtuse, they're intolerant, and just plain evil. The cross to a hedonistic world is not just strange, it's immoral. How dare you? The cry goes up. And yet, that's where we are today. And too many of us who are supposed to be light to this world have caved when people ask us those hard questions. We're not really saying that, are we? Let me go ask my priest. We are saying a lot of those things. We are saying no to abortion, no to sex before marriage, no to homosexual acts and so-called gay marriage. We are saying no to those things, and it's hard, and it's the cross. But you know, the Lord, the people will cry, well, doesn't God want me to be happy? God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be holy. Now, there is a happiness that comes from holiness, but it's not that instant gratification happiness that the world gives. The world says, I'll give it to you right away, but the bill comes 3 days later. Now, with all this goofing off and playing around we've been doing for 50 years regarding marriage and sexuality in our culture, the bill has come due. Our children are suffering immensely, carted from one house to another, not growing up with their fathers, struggling with all kinds of issues. It's our children that pay. They're paying our bills. You see, the world says, I'll give you pleasure instantly. And the whole point of your life is happiness and pleasure, isn't it? And your God wants you to be happy, doesn't he? And we went right along with it. Then the bill came 3 days later. Now the Lord's way is a little different. He says, I have a happiness for you. But it comes through the cross. And the payoff, oh, wait till you see the payoff. It comes 3 days later, but it's a payoff, not a bill. Oh, church, are you praying with me? The cross is as controversial and as troubling as it's ever been. All of us have some crosses we've been trying to avoid. And God is asking us to consider the cross and to say, if you're going to be one of my disciples, if I'm asking you to carry a cross, I want you to take it, and I want you to follow me. I know it's not easy. I know it's a cross. I know it's challenging. But in 3 days, wait till you see what I've got for you. And therefore, this gospel ends with the Lord saying, the choice is yours. So the gospel ends, and the Lord says this. The Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and he will repay everyone according to his conduct. Now, let's go to that judgment scene for a minute. And the Lord has basically said, look, I've given you two ways. My way, the way of the cross, or you can go some other way. Now, here comes payday. It's judgment day. Now, some of you have said, I'm willing to forsake this world, let go of its trinkets and its demands, and let go and even make some very difficult and hard decisions for the glory that waits. And the Lord says, come on in. It's payday. It's payday. Another group comes to him and says, well, I kind of like the world and its ways and its trinkets, and I thought more like the world thought, and that was kind of the way. And the Lord said, okay, fine. Paid in full. You wanted the world? You got it. It's all yours. At the end of the day, the Lord's going to ask, what do you want? Do you want heaven? Or do you want the world and where it leads? Heaven is only found through this, the cross. It's the only way to get there. So the Lord is saying, what do you want? Do you want heaven? Okay, then take up your cross and follow me. You want the world? Fine. It's all yours, paid in full. And that's why he says, lose the things of this world. Lose its wisdom, its so-called wisdom. Lose those trinkets. Don't be hung up by those things. Don't let them get in your way. Take up your cross. Follow me. You'll suffer and you'll die, But in 3 days, 3 days, oh, wait till you see what I've got to show you. Wait till you see that the glory that the suffering of the cross ushers in can't even be compared to the magnificent glory that I have waiting for you. The suffering can't even be compared to the glory. Wait, says the Lord. Draw me nearer, Lord, nearer. Draw me nearer, nearer to your precious cross. What do you want? You want heaven? And take up your cross, but never forget, it's not just the cross, it's the glory that in 3 days, whoo, wait till you see what he's got for you.